Paul Ramel here for Q92 Radio. We're going to visit with J.D. Struxness. J.D. is a world champion in steer wrestling at the NFR National Finals Rodeo in Vegas last weekend. Actually, he's been there for a couple of weeks, and J.D. joins us by phone. And congratulations, J.D.
Thank you, Paul.
This has been a dream come true for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, we've been working towards that goal for a long time now, and, you know, to finally get it accomplished was a huge accomplishment and relief.
So the NFR National Finals Rodeo in Vegas, that's like the Super Bowl, right?
Yep, yeah, that'd be like your Super Bowl. They take the top 15 contestants in each individual event for the year, and then you get to go out there and compete for 10 nights in Vegas.
All right, 10 nights in Vegas, and so you've earned enough points. So how many times have you been to Vegas, J.D.?
That was my sixth time going.
Okay, and and hopefully a few more, right?
Hopefully, that's the plan.
All right. Well, congratulations. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit how you get to Vegas again, and let's talk. Take us behind the scenes at Vegas. What happens, and how the competition is run.
Yeah. So to get out there throughout the year, you go to different rodeos throughout the year, and you accumulate points based off of the money you win at them. You know, basically $1 is a point, and so you accumulate points that way. And in the steer wrestling, you know, we usually go to about 80 rodeos a year that you can count towards trying to qualify for the NFR. So then out of those, is your top 15 money earners get to go out to Vegas and compete out there for 10 nights out in Vegas. You know, and that's like our Super Bowl. That's where the biggest money is. You get the most chances, only going against the same 15 guys every night. So to make it out there is just a huge accomplishment in itself. And then, you know, going through the week to do good out there, that's another, because you're going against the other 14 best guys in the world.
Right, that's right. How many steer wrestlers are there in professional rodeo? Do you have any idea, J.D.?
I'm not totally positive on the numbers anymore, but it's somewhere 300-400.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a membership in there somewhere.
Okay, well, that's quite a few. And to be number one, can't beat that.
Yeah.
So talk about your 10 rounds then in Vegas.
We had a rough start out there. You know, we came out in the first round, and I missed the steer. And out there, you know, that's always a huge disappointing thing there. So we...
What happened? What happened in that first round then that you missed the steer?
The steer, he just was a little untrue to his pattern and moved around and stopped on us. And, you know, I missed and went by the inside horn there. And, you know, it was something we weren't planning for at all out there, and just something we didn't see coming with what that steer's pattern had been in the past, which is the hard. The first three rounds are, you know, we run three pens of steers. So the first three rounds are a little bit tougher as far as knowing what the cattle are going to do out there, because they'll change a little bit in that building, and our steer did, so we had missed that first steer out there, you know, so that was nowhere close to the way we wanted to start the week, so that was...
But you came back nicely then.
Yeah, we came back nicely and, you know, fought through that, and, you know, you got to thank your support system for that, my family and friends that were behind me and help pick me up from that situation and move forward through the finals. And like my wife told me, if there's any time to go out, it's the first round, because then you still got nine more to go at it.
Oh,
and
smart
wife. Go wide open. Yeah, so you know, so then after that we just went to work and you know, just started to try and win the most money we could win every night. We weren't worried about average anymore because we were already out of it at that point. So we just were going at each night, seeing how much money we could win on each steer they gave us, and try and max it out that way.
What were some of your better rounds out of the 10?
Oh, I think I was 3-6 twice out there. In round six, I was 3-6 for a round win, and then 3-6 at final night for second in the round, and then you know, we're in the upper threes a couple more times in the short fours.
So the last round, JD, did you know where you were standing? Did you know you had a chance? Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we knew going into the night that we had a chance, and you know, my chance was going to depend on kind of how some of the other guys did. We knew I needed to win first or second in the round and see how some other guys did in the round and whatnot to see where my chance went. And, you know, going, as it went on, you kind of keep track of what everybody else is doing slightly, just taking little mental notes along the way. And so when I ran my steer, I had a good idea that I needed to win first or second in the round to even get close to it there. And so we just went out and made an aggressive run and got up, and it was second in the round. So that was doing it at the time with one round to go, or one guy to go.
Right, and that put you over the top, right?
Yep, us over the top.
Yeah, what went through your mind when you realized you were world champion, when you first realized it?
Oh, there's just a lot of excitement, you know, for my family, you know, that had been behind me, and all the people that stood behind me there throughout the years and whatnot. And then, you know, excited for Ty Erickson, who owns the horse I was riding, and then Matt Reeves, who's hazing, you know, along with myself, you know, just all the excitement going through for all my family and friends there that had been with me through all this.
All right, before we talk about your team, talk about the steers. I'm a little confused. Do you pick the steers? How does that work? And do you know the steers well? Or tell us a little bit about that process. And the horse, and your horse, too.
We get together as a group at the end of the year, and we vote on the pens of steers we'd like to run out there. And then there's three pens of steers that get voted in to go out there, and then we get together and pick the ones that we think would fit the building the best out there. So your top 15 all get together and go through that together, and then each night they draw you steers that you run. You don't get to pick each night which one you want to run. They randomly draw you which steer you run. So then you go about it that, and then your horses, you get to pick your horse. Last year I picked Ty Erickson's horse Crush to ride, and you know, went out there good for us last year, and so I rode the horse throughout the whole year this year, and then rode him back out there again this year. You know, the horse, he worked outstanding for us. He's really easy to get along with and gives you a chance to win on a lot of steers. And then you also get to pick your hazer, and we went with Matt Reeves again this year and his horse Kirk. They've been doing a good job out there for a while, and they did a good job out there for us last year, so we just went back to him.
Okay. Yeah, like you mentioned, some of your guys that are with you, you know, we see you on TV in the shoot on your horse, and we think you're by yourself, but you actually have a team behind you, don't you, that you work?
Yeah, the Bulldogs, they're a pretty tight group of guys, so, you know, all 15 guys are helping each other with whatever they need. But then you got your smaller groups that you usually travel with or riding the same horse, and Ty Erickson and Rowdy Parrott were riding the same horse as me this year, you know, and that's your tighter group that you really break things down with. And so every night when we get the draw, we're back there talking and giving opinions on what we think each other should do on each steer that we get and whatnot, and then we come up with a game plan between ourselves and Matt, our hazer, and then we just go out and try and execute it.
All right. So so after the 10 rounds, you're named world champion in steer wrestling, and what do you win? I know you get good money there. I think somebody reported 150 some thousand for that. But what do you get? You get a saddle or a belt buckle, don't you?
Yep. You get a saddle and buckle, and that money that you won is just what you've accumulated throughout the rounds there that they tally onto what you came into the finals with to determine your champion there. So, you get to earn good money out there, and then, saddle and a buckle come with it, and then just the bragging rights, I guess.
I guess the big bragging rights, JD.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had your whole family out there the whole time, I'm guessing?
Yep. My wife and our girls, they were out there the whole time with me, and then mom and dad, they've always came and spent the whole time with us and give us a lot of help with the kids throughout the week and whatnot, and then brothers and sisters in and out, aunts and uncles. So no, it was a fun week that we got to enjoy with the family.
All right. I got to ask you a couple questions. People have, when you talk to JD, asking these questions. So here's one. How often do you practice that? How often do you practice?
We practice, especially right before the finals, we're practicing like 5-6 days a week, getting ready, getting our muscle memory going, making sure those horses are and ourselves are fitting in shape to take on the 10 days out there, because it's a long 10 days. It's hard on those horses and hard on our bodies. So, just like any other sport, you practice and work out every day to try and prepare yourself the best you can.
Okay, and then the other question somebody asked me to ask you is, how many interviews have you done since you were named a world champion? Everybody wants to talk to you, including us.
I haven't kept track. It's been quite a few, though.
Is that one of your favorite things to do?
No, it never has been my favorite, but it comes with the territory.
Well, I remember interviewing you when you were a student at Lac Qui Parle Valley, or a student athlete at Lac Qui Parle Valley a couple times. Remember that?
Yeah, those ones weren't near as much talking.
And the other question someone asked me was, did high school wrestling, you went to the state wrestling tournament a couple times, how does that go with what you're doing now? Does that help you?
Wrestling helped the Bulldog in there early on, just because you had the feel of how to control moving weight and whatnot, and really have a feel of your body control. So yeah, that helped a lot early on there. And then the mentality from sports and work ethic you pick up from doing sports, that always helps, I think, in about anything in life. Reminds you need to work at it if you want to be good.
Okay. Well, congratulations, JD. You put Milan, Minnesota on the map, that's for sure. A lot of people in our Q92 listener who were watching you last weekend and cheering for you, and you got a lot of followers around here.
That's awesome. Community sport is great.
Yep. I should mention you're going to be at Lac Qui Parle Valley tomorrow night signing autographs, and you can get your picture with JD, right? That's tomorrow night before the basketball game?
Yep.
And then Saturday, welcome home for JD at the Milan Legion. I think the time is 6 to 8 there, right?
No, that sounds right.
All right. Well, we're very proud of you, JD. Congratulations on becoming a wrestling, and now you can defend your title for next year, right?
That's right. Go back and try and defend it.
Okay. Thank you, JD, for the time, and we'll see you out at Lac Qui Parle and at the Milan Legion on Saturday.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Yep. JD Struxness, world champion steer wrestler.